things happening, things that we never thought were possible in our country. On the one hand, spirituality and people going back to church and people getting saved has never been higher. I mean, it's high. People are coming, especially young people, are coming back to church. Amen. And even more so than my generation, they're coming back to church. But there's a certain portion of that generation that's just the opposite. They want to be communists, and they want to throw God out. And it's like, what in the world is going on? But I think churches are kind of following that same dynamic or something similar to it. Some churches are moving into the spirit realm. And some churches are moving into politics or moving into some kind of political atmosphere. How many know church can have politics? And people pleasing. And these kinds of things. And churches tend to be going in two different directions. And there are some churches that will do anything to put people in the pews. And then there are those who just want to be sure that those that are in the pews are on their way to heaven and know what their purpose is in serving Jesus Christ. I don't care if we run 1,000. I just want to someday, I like what our speaker said, and it just messes me up every time someone says this, but someday I'm going to have to present you to the Lord. And I'm really scared. I might not make it to heaven because of you. No, I'm being ornery today. Amen. I'm going to be proud to present Journey Life Center to Jesus Christ. Of course, you have to stand on your own, obviously. Amen. We all have to stand before the judgment seat. But there is, I don't know how it works or how it happens, but somehow, at some point, we're all just going to gather together. Let's just meet at my mansion, okay? Let's just all meet there. I hope to God it's big enough. Amen. I might have a little shack on the other side of the creek. I don't know. But but let's all come together, and I'm going to present you to Jesus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Where did my praise team go? As I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Woo! As he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Thank you for the bass, Charlie. Amen. Come on. Okay. Matthew chapter 13. So I want to look at two situations in Jesus' life, pretty much one after the other, that were polar opposite and really kind of demonstrate what's happening in the church world today. I think that's a good place. If we're going to cross over, we need to be the right kind of church. If we're going higher, we need to be the right kind of church. If we're getting closer, we need to be the right kind of church. So here's this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. And these stories are in other gospels as well. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables he was teaching, that he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Did you know Jesus had four brothers? And his sisters, they don't get named. and his sisters, are they not all with us? So Jesus had brothers and sisters. He was the eldest, obviously. Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, watch this. He did not do many works there because of their unbelief. So we have a city where Jesus taught them, but there were almost no miracles, no manifestation. So there's several things we got to understand here. Number one, you always need to understand that we got to have the word before the miraculous. Now, he did preach the word in their synagogues, but they didn't believe. But you can't get that backwards. You can't have miraculous and then the word. Maybe that's why through the centuries, you always preach first and then have an altar call. Because the word has to precede the miraculous. Can I get an amen? Number two, you need to understand that the messenger, and that's not just me, that's you too, a messenger will always be attacked. If you intend, some of us think, you know, some these preachers, they preach that, oh, the gospel is, oh. Listen, anytime you step forward and do something for God, you're going to get attacked. If you're not being attacked, it's because you're not a threat. So if you're getting attacked a lot, and I'm not talking about just life things that happen to everybody. It's weird. Some people without Jesus handle things better than people with Jesus. I don't understand that. I mean, everyone goes through things, but I'm talking about spiritual attacks. And the enemy can manipulate problems in the natural to attack us. We understand that. We will be attacked. So we got to live with that. But the third thing is this, and this is where I want to spend a minute, because the problem with many churches today is what I call familiarity. We've become too familiar with things. We just kind of go through the motions. That word familiar in the Old Testament is really interesting. Its definition is the state, well, the word familiar in the dictionary, the state of being familiar, easy. Friendly relationships, close acquaintance, intimacy. But it's strange that we take that word and we say people are too familiar. Do you ever have a situation where someone is being too familiar with maybe someone of the opposite sex? Do you understand what I'm saying? That is being too familiar. It's an inappropriate familiarity. But the Old Testament interprets that word as familiar. How many know in reading the Old Testament we keep coming across this phrase, familiar spirits? And they're familiar, because we know what they are. And some people have played with them, and these spirits have become familiar to them. But the Old Testament word for familiar is an interesting word. It means literally to speak from an empty water skin. In other words, when the water skin is empty of water, it would make certain sounds, certain hollow sounds. And you know at that point there's no water in it, just air. And there is a spirit in the church world today that's speaking from a hollow place. An empty place. There's no water in the water skin. Come, somebody help me in this place. There's no water. Water, that's the Word of God. That represents the Holy Spirit. Every church is a water skin, but some churches have no water, just empty noise. Paul talks about that, right? An empty water skin, a hollow sound. People are preaching, but it has no power. People are praying, but there are no results. People are running programs, but there is no Holy Spirit. You okay? Here's a fourth thing, a lack of honor. I could preach a whole series on honor, so I got to be real careful here. I appreciate you honoring these men. I appreciate the way you honored Gloria and I last week. Honor is very important. As you honor the head and as you honor one another, let me just say this and I'll move on, but as you honor one another, you release the power of the Holy Spirit. When you dishonor headship or even one another, you cut off the power of God. Oh, you got your way, but you lost your power. Whew. I tell you, there's going to be some nuggets in here. I can't wait to see what I'm going to say, but they're coming. What do I mean by a lack of honor? Isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't Joseph his daddy? He's not a rabbi. He was never taught what to do or what to say. Who is he? Dishonor. And because of that dishonor, the Bible says, and Jesus could work no miracles there. We need, listen, a culture of honor in the body of Christ. No works were done there because of a lack of honor. Lord, help us in this place. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? Lord, help us. Unbelief, familiarity, a lack of honor. No mighty works because of unbelief. That's the situation that a lot of churches will find themselves in, and they need to reverse it. They need to get out of that city. They need to get out of that place. And Jesus didn't perform many miracles, so he left. Too many churches are churches in name only. I was listening to a song the other day. It says, we're running with the case, but we ain't got the gold. And I think a lot of churches are running with the case. We got the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, you got an empty box. And once again, we need the glow. How many want the power and the glory and the presence of the Lord in the house? It's not about me. It's not about anybody. It's all about him. We need to get to that place. Turn this around. Preach the word. Live with the attacks. Understand. Stay. Familiarity. Familiarity has killed more churches. Let me say a little phrase that has killed more churches than any other phrase. We've never done it that way before. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to get sick. I've not heard it here, but I hear it elsewhere. Well, we've never done it that way, so I guess we're never going to do it. We humans just naturally like the familiar. We put tables in the sanctuary and some of you freak out. I can't worship God around a table. You understand that the table is actually where the church started, not pews? But if you really can't stand the tables, if you'll stay after church, we'll let you take them down. Set up the chairs. Do it right. We'll let you do it. In just a few weeks, Christmas is coming. We're going to have to put the tables back out. You can come back and set them back up. So, you know, we'll meet with you after church. Amen. I remember once in the old sanctuary, everyone was sitting in the same place. Pretty much it happens here too. And one day I said, all right, do not sit where you usually sit. Move around. I was so proud of myself. Everyone moved around, sat somewhere else. It totally messed me up. They weren't the only ones in a rut. Where's my amen corner? What's going on? What? Amens were coming from here. I couldn't follow it. I was in a rut. The brain likes for things to repeat and happen the same way. Our brain just works that way, and it doesn't like constant changes. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is unpredictable. The Holy Spirit will fall when you don't expect it. He'll do things that are totally strange and weird, and you don't understand what's going on. People will fall. People will run like crazy people. People will shout. Preachers will yell. Come on. A lot of weird things happen when you let the Holy Spirit be in charge. I have a question for you. Are you willing to put what is familiar to the side and just say, whatever you want this morning, Holy Spirit, just do whatever you want to do. Woo! Say amen. I'm ready to sit down. Amen. Isn't God good? I got to hurry up. Praise God. Let's look at another place then that Jesus visited. A different city, a different situation. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman, a heathen, a non-Jew, came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. We need to keep that attitude. I'm not worthy, but hallelujah. Thank you. Only speak a word. And my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. Good sermon for Veterans Day. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Remember the other story? And said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And all the Jews are like, yeah, that's us. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is. Oh, Lord. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Come on and praise him if you're going to praise him. So Jesus goes from his hometown, a familiar place, where you would think he could do great things. And he goes, and he was not able, and he goes to an unfamiliar place and talks to an unfamiliar person who is a Roman centurion, basically his enemy, not a Jew. Come on. Sometimes non-believers will surprise you. Whoever comes through those doors, we need to love on them. Come on. Because you don't know what they will wind up to be. Capernaum was a fishing village on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. It would have taken about 10 hours to walk there. So a couple days, maybe 3 days. Some of his disciples were from Capernaum. But it was a busy place. It was a successful place. It was a crossroads for trade. Very successful place. But Jesus had a ministry there. He called some of his disciples from there. It's always interesting to look at who Jesus called to come. It's always interesting to see who God sends to our church. I always believe God sends them. All right, I'll behave. The Holy Spirit just checked me there. Don't say that. Jesus was not a fisherman, but he called several fishermen. If he was just hooked on his familiarity, he would have only called the carpenters. But he called fishermen, quite a few of them. I don't know that any of the 12 were from his trade. By the way, just as a little nugget, the Bible says carpenter, but he probably didn't work a lot with, he probably wasn't. The word is translated as not carpenter. It's tekon in the Greek, and tekon means a builder or a craftsman. There was very little wood in Israel. When Solomon built the temple, he had to bring in cedars from Lebanon. They didn't have about the only wood that grows in Israel, those gnarly olive trees. Amen. You can maybe make a tool out of it or something like that. It's hard to make furniture. It's hard to. Most houses were built out of stone. Probably, Jesus probably worked some with wood, but probably he was a stonemason. It can be craftsmen. It can be even someone who works with material. But basically, Jesus was a builder. He was an architect. And now, and as a stonemason, now the scriptures start making sense to me when Jesus said, and the rock, the corners, that they rejected has become the very cornerstone. Come on, somebody help me in this place. How many times does Jesus talk about stone, the cornerstone? And here's the thing. The Bible says that Jesus was there on the day of creation. He made the earth. Yeah, he's a master craftsman. Nothing that is made was made without his hand, the Bible says. He's the master craftsman, and he's working on me. Stop thinking of him as just some kind of carpenter. You know, we see that picture of the Last Supper. And they're sitting around a wood table. Beautiful, nice little comfortable chairs. No. There probably was not a table. The food was either just on the floor or maybe on some stones. They were not sitting in chairs. Remember when it said John leaned on Kind of hard to lean on someone when you're both in a chair. They reclined at meal on pillows, maybe designed by Jesus. And that was the Last Supper. They need to change all those dumb pictures. And why they're all sitting on the same side of the table, I don't know. I think John said, let's take a selfie. And they all got on that side. Listen, don't trust in art. Trust in Jesus. Amen. How many are still here? How long have I been preaching? You okay? If you want to operate in the miraculous, you need to be careful who you pick, who you hang with. Now listen, I'm not saying you need to pick people that are perfect. I'm saying you need to pick people that know they have a destiny and a purpose. None of those guys, see, you need, listen. Back then, when you were a child, the greatest thing you could do in school is learn the scriptures. And most young boys, young girls could memorize whole books of the Bible. And the goal of every young man, was to someday be some prophet's disciple. If some prophet came along and said, Larry, I want you to be my disciple, that would be greater than today being an architect or a banker or a lawyer or a doctor that makes a lot of money. To be a disciple would be the highest calling that anybody could have. So when Jesus picked these 12, how many believe half of them flunked school? They probably never thought they would ever be disciples. They're just awkward fishermen, probably couldn't read or write, knew some scripture, whatever. But Jesus didn't call them because of what they are. He called them because of who they will be. I like to hang around with people that have a destiny. I like to hang around people that know God's going to do something great in my life someday, somehow. Amen. I may not get called to preach and all that stuff, but God's going to do something with me. Those are the people I want to hang out with. Anybody here understanding what I'm saying? Oh, my God, help us. I got to hurry. So careful who you hang with. And notice the honor here that... Notice that in his hometown, they said, this is Joseph's boy. But when he came to the other town, the centurion said, Lord, all they could see in the first town, all they could see was his natural side. They couldn't see the supernatural side. They didn't even call him Jesus. They just said, that's Joseph's boy. One of five brothers. That's all. Firstborn, yeah. But that's Joseph's boy. That's Mary's son. But the centurion, who had no background in the scriptures, knew nothing about the Messiah coming. He just knew here was a man of power. Here was a man sent from God. And when he looked at him, he didn't call him Joseph's son. He said, Lord. We need to understand that he is Lord. You need to understand Jesus had this thing where he was totally God but totally human. Amen. You see, on Joseph's side, he'd get sick, but on Mary's side, he could heal the sick. On Joseph's side, he didn't know what was coming at him, but on Mary's side. He was the Son of God and knew the future. On Joseph's side, he didn't know what you were thinking, but on Mary's side, he knew where you were coming from. That's my Jesus. He is Lord. We need to be a church where Jesus is Lord. Finally, let me say this. This centurion was a man under authority. We need to get under authority. I don't know how hard this is for some of you, but it's not about your way. It's about his way. You heard the expression, it's my way or the highway. It's God's way or the highway. And churches, they say 1,500 pastors every month are resigning. Some of it's their fault because they take everything on themselves. Some of it is just attacks and things from the congregation, expectations that they can't meet. I just decided a while ago, you can expect whatever you want. I'm just going to do what his expectations are the only ones I need to meet. And I don't always meet them, and I'm not always perfect, but praise God, I don't have to be stressed when I don't meet them, because he's a loving, forgiving God and gives me second, third, fourth, fifth chances. Some of you won't give me the time of day. Let me get where it's safe here. Safer here. But if we're going to be a church full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, we can't go our own way. We need to find his way and follow it. I know there's a will of God for your life. But if God placed you in this church, then the will of God for your life will align with the will of God for the church. I believe that's so strong. I've had people come to me and say, I want to start a ministry. And I thought, I never heard of that. I don't know how to do it. This is crazy. But I knew they were God called, and I knew they were. So you know what? My conclusion is I don't know how, when, where, how to fund it. But but apparently God's in it, so let's go. Come on. And then every once in a while, there's the fruitcakes and nuts. I call them granola bar Christians. No, I'm going to stay away from it. They just pop in, pop out. They just want to be seen. They want to be heard. They just want to influence the church. They think they have a word. My God doesn't need to send some weirdo for me to hear a word. I've got 200 families that can give me a word. If God can't speak to you, why is he going to send some weirdo to speak to me? Some of your children have better words for me. I told you it'd get rough. There's a door right there. When I say amen, I'm out of here. He was a man under authority. Let me finish with this. Here's what the centurion said. Speak a word. He didn't even say the word. He said, just speak a word. Just say one word. And I believe it's done. We need to stop fighting with God and doubting God. And it's time that we just say, God, just speak a word. Speak a word over my home. Speak a word over my spouse. Speak a word over my church. Speak a word over my pastor. Speak a word. Speak a word over the church. in creation, every day he would just speak a word and the world would come into existence. Speak a word. Speak a word. Roshandarabasatai. And Jesus said, as of this moment, your servant is healed. There's the word. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Oh, I feel him in this house. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I try not to speak in tongues over the microphone. It's not meant for interpretation, but not meant for interpretation. Thank you, piano player. But I just feel the Holy Spirit.